"It's our asses on the line every time," said the intellectual. "I mean, I wish I had a dollar for every horse I've had eaten out from right underneath me."
"Right. $50,000, he can stuff it."
"Yeah. Right, cheapskate. Yeah, let's go and have a drink. Right."
They nodded in righteous agreement and strode off towards the mended drum, except for the intellectual, who sidled uneasily back to Vimes.
"What sort of a dog?" he said.
"What?" said Vimes.
"I said, what sort of a dog?"
"A small, wire-haired terrier, I think," said Vimes.
The hunter thought about this for some time.
"Nah," he said eventually, and hurried off after the others.
"He's got an aunt in Pseudopolis, I believe," Vimes called after him.
There was no response. The captain of the watch shrugged and carried on through the throng to the patrician's palace, where the patrician was having a difficult lunchtime.
"Gentlemen," he snapped, "I really don't see what else there is to do."
The assembled civic leaders muttered amongst themselves.
"At times like this, it's traditional that a hero comes forth," said the president of the Guild of Assassins. "A dragon slayer. Where is he? That's what I want to know. Why aren't our schools turning out young people with the kind of skills society needs?"
$50,000 doesn't sound much," said the chairman of the Guild of Thieves.
"It may not be much to you, my dear sir, but it is all the city can afford," said the patrician firmly. "If it doesn't afford any more than that, I don't think there'll be a city for long," said the thief.
"And what about trade?" said the representative of the Guild of Merchants. "People aren't going to sail here with a cargo of rare comestibles just to have it incinerated, are they?"
"Gentlemen, gentlemen,"
the patrician raised his hands in a conciliatory fashion.
"It seems to me," he went on, taking advantage of the brief pause, "that what we have here is a strictly magical phenomenon. I would like to hear from our learned friend on this point.
Someone nudged the Arch-Chancellor of Unseen University, who had nodded off.
What?
Said the wizard, startled into wakefulness.
"We were wondering," said the patrician loudly, "what you were intending to do about this dragon of yours."
The Arch-Chancellor was old, but a lifetime of survival in the world of competitive wizardry and the Byzantine politics of Unseen University meant that he could whip up a defensive argument in a split second. You didn't remain Arch-Chancellor for long if you let that sort of ingenuous remark whiz past your ear.
"My dragon?" he said.
"It's well known that the great dragons are extinct," said the patrician brusquely, "and besides, their natural habitat was definitely rural. So it seems to me that this one must be magic."
"With respect, Lord Vetinari," said the Arch-Chancellor, "it has often been claimed that dragons are extinct, but the current evidence, if I may make so bold, tends to cast a certain doubt on the theory. As to habitat, what we are seeing here is simply a change of behaviour pattern occasioned by the spread of urban areas into the countryside, which has led many hitherto rural creatures to adopt, nay, in many cases, to positively embrace a more municipal mode of existence. And many of them thrive on the new opportunities thereby opened to them. For example, foxes are always knocking over my dustbins."
He beamed. He'd managed to get all the way through it without actually needing to engage his brain.
"Are you saying," said the assassin slowly, "that what we've got here is the first civic dragon?" "That's evolution for you," said the wizard happily. "It should do well, too," he added. "Plenty of nesting sites and a more than adequate food supply."
Silence greeted this statement until the merchant said,
"What exactly is it that they do eat?"
The thief shrugged.
"I seem to recall stories about virgins chained to huge rocks," he volunteered.
"It'll starve round here, then," said the assassin. "We're on loam."
"They used to go around ravening," said the thief. "Dunno if that's any help."
"Anyway," said the leader of the merchants, "it seems to be your problem again, my lord."
5 minutes later, the patrician was striding the length of the oblong office, fuming.
"They were laughing at me," said the patrician. "I could tell."
"Did you suggest a working party?"
said Once.
"Of course I did. It didn't do the trick this time. You know, I really am inclined to increase the reward money."
"I don't think that would work, my lord. Any proficient monster slayer knows the rate for the job."
"Half the kingdom," muttered the patrician.
"And your daughter's hand in marriage," said Once.
"I suppose an aunt isn't acceptable," the patrician said, hopefully.
"Tradition demands a daughter, my lord."
The patrician nodded gloomily.
"Perhaps we can buy it off," he said aloud. "Are dragons intelligent?"
"I believe the word traditionally is cunning, my lord," said Once. "I understand they have a liking for gold."
"Really? What do they spend it on?"
"They sleep on it, my lord."
"What? Do you mean in a mattress?"
"No, my lord. On it."
The patrician turned this fact over in his mind.
"Don't they find it rather knobbly?" he said.
"So I would imagine, sir. I don't suppose anyone has ever asked."
"Can they talk?"
"They are apparently good at it, my lord."
"Ah, interesting."
The patrician was thinking. If it can talk, it can negotiate. If it can negotiate, then I have it by the short, by the small scales, or whatever it is they have.
"And they are said to be silver-tongued," said Once.
The patrician leaned back in his chair.
"Only silver," he said.
There was the sound of muted voices in the passageway outside, and Vimes was ushered in.
"Ah, Captain," said the patrician, "what progress?"
"I'm sorry, my lord," said Vimes, as the rain dripped off his cape.
"Towards apprehending this dragon," said the patrician firmly.
"The wading bird," said Vimes.
"You know very well what I mean," said Vetinari sharply.
"Investigations are in hand," said Vimes automatically.
The patrician snorted.
"All you have to do is find its lair," he said. "Once you have the lair, you have the dragon. That's obvious. Half the city seems to be looking for it."
"If there is a lair," said Vimes.
Once looked up sharply.
"Why do you say that?" "We are considering a number of possibilities," said Vimes, woodenly.
"If it has no lair, where does it spend its days?" said the patrician.
"Inquiries are being pursued," said Vimes.
"Then pursue them with alacrity and find the lair," said the patrician sourly.
"Yes, sir."
"Permission to leave, sir?" "Very well. But I shall expect progress by tonight. Do you understand?"